19. I thought I knew what love was. I loved my Jackie like nobody on planet Earth. But it didn't take long for our humanness in that relationship to begin to be an issue. Because whether we realize it or not, we are born with a fallen nature. Now, I'd been born again. I didn't have a fallen nature in me anymore. But because I didn't know how to renew my mind to the new nature on the inside, I was still functioning according to the old nature. And love and relationships was all about what somebody else could make me feel, or how somebody else could make me feel complete. It was still, without me being aware of it, a very selfish type love. Most people play marriage, you could say. How many know when we say, somebody says, do you play an instrument? Yeah, I play guitar. Do you read music? No, I play by ear. In other words, they learn to play. They don't know music, but they picked it up by hearing some things and watching some things, and then they started playing. How many know if you play marriage by ear, you're going to get in trouble? Scripture says that this does not come naturally. A marriage anointed by, blessed by God, needs God's input and an understanding. And each one of you, the most important thing that you can learn is what the love of God is, how it functions, and then how to apply that in your life and in your relationship, not just in a marriage, but I'm speaking to young people. If you'll get a hold of this at an early age, it'll change the way you look for a spouse. It'll change the way you feel about yourself. So many young ladies today have embraced the world's concept that their value is defined by the way they look, what they wear, and much more. And the world's idea of what that is takes precious, beautiful young women into some very, very dark places, even in the middle of a church setting. How many know the love of God can set us free from that? Young men, their value, because of the way the world system is defined by what they do. Our identity, who I am, is defined by my abilities, by my looks, by my muscles. You notice I was real careful about that. I don't want to... Thank God I'm not defined by that. Amen. So at any rate, defined by so many things. If we can get a hold of the love of God and begin to find out what that is, listen, it will give you heaven on earth as much as is possible as you trust God and believe God. God has a man or woman for every one of you if you will trust Him, wait on Him. I love Matthew 6:33 that says, seek first God's kingdom and all His righteousness. And all these things you have need of will be added. How many know that before you ever enter into a relationship, it's wise to be complete in Him? Otherwise, you're looking for somebody else to complete you, and now we got problems. My intention wasn't at all to talk about marriage, but it's a beautiful example, and I know we got a lot of young people in here. So as we're doing this, I don't want to just be preaching over some people's heads and past you. I want this message to get a hold and take root in your heart and realize that really, as I've announced several weeks in a row, the love of God, by which faith operates, mountain-moving faith that operates by love, will and does break addictions, does and will break bondage, unforgiveness, the hold of regret on your life, always looking back. You can leave it alone and move forward in newness of life. The love of God breaks the power of demonic depression. We got a society that is full of depressed people. But the love of God can break that. We've been taught from the time we were little that life, in one way or another, was all about me. And this is the root source. Selfishness born out of a survival mentality, a godless mindset that says we came from dirt and we're only going to wind up as dirt. You with me? Evolution that is being taught in our schools, humanism that is the religion of the day. There are so many kids that do well through grade school, but when they go to college, they abandon their faith. Because this is what is being promoted. And I want you to realize today, I'm not here just to announce a message or give more knowledge, but my prayer is, would you join me, people of God? My prayer is that every young person and every 18-year-old, 70-year-old today gets a revelation and a continuing revelation of the love of God and the difference it makes when we open up our lives to Him. But we've got to find out what that is. You know, as I had to find out at an early age, I began to study and read, and I found out that the love of God has nothing to do with your emotions. It has nothing to do with feelings. Most of the time, it's more about being obedient and walking by faith in that. And as you do that, the emotions and the feelings will come back in waves that were much greater than you ever experienced when you were in the first part of dating or marriage or whatever as you're walking. And I'm talking about all of this within the confines of biblical relationships. Are you following me? That's important that we understand that. It will come back in greater ways, a deeper love and a deeper understanding. Those of us that have been through one or two or three marriages, aren't you glad for a God of a second and a third and whatever chance? But how many of you in here, your heart cries and rings with mine? Because if you could warn other young people and tell them, here's where I went wrong and you don't have to go the way I did. God does forgive and He does restore and He will put things back together and He does honor the desires of your heart. But I went through so much hurt because I didn't know or because I didn't listen. See, it's important that we get a hold of these things. Young people, I hope this in Jesus' name rings in your ears till you can't get away from it, because the world is teaching the exact opposite. And Proverbs tells us, Proverbs 14 says, there's a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof is destruction. Would you all join me? Shout it out. I'm not one of them. Because of Jesus in me. Oh man, I got a whole new lease on life. Amen. Praise the Lord. Isn't that great? Now, the reason I use marriage is because the Bible uses marriage a lot. It tells husbands to love their wives as Christ loved the church. It told wives to honor the husband. And we see this reciprocal relationship designed by God as an example of the way marriage and equally the way a church body should function. And I'm so glad today that I can announce to you that the love of God does work. I do know. We will never be perfect at it. You will never get it right. And that shouldn't be discouraging to you. That is an important factor of this whole deal, that my dependency, as Paul said, will always be on Him. And that when I'm weak, He is made strong. What I will tell you is the more that you follow this, life begins to open into a whole new level. Scripture promises over and over and over again. It speaks of a day that shines brighter and brighter. It speaks of a glory to glory. It speaks of higher places in God. It speaks, Paul, of leaving what has happened behind. You can't do anything about what has already taken place. All you've got is today and the rest of your life. And you can dare to trust God that what He has promised is true. He has a future for you with His blessing stamped on it, if we'll just learn to flow and cooperate with what He does. How many know God is good? Hallelujah. And His mercy. Aren't you glad today for His mercy? His mercy endures forever. Praise the Lord. It's not going to work any other way. That's why I think one of the most important things we can do, and as the people of God, and I'm going to show you a few scriptures this morning where this is the message that is primordial throughout the Word of God. Why is it spoken of so little? Faith that moves mountains. You got a mountain in your life? The God kind of faith moves mountains. And that kind of faith functions, grows in the soul of life, and functions by and through the love of God. How many know the love of God is important? Praise the Lord. So if you would, I want to reference a little bit of last week's message. Turn with me, if you would, to Psalms 133. And I want to just bring back to your remembrance very briefly so that we can move on to a little deeper aspect of what this is all about. If you missed some of the definition of what the love of God is, the agape, everybody can say agape in here today? Agape. The agape love of God. We're going to come back to that again and again and again, so don't be concerned. The love of God, agape love, is very different from any other form. In fact, it is love. It is real and legitimate love. So Psalms 133, verse 2, I want to come back to last week. We see here a beautiful picture drawn of unity. Okay? And if you look a little bit further, you'll see a picture of Jesus in Aaron with the anointing oil, the holy anointing oil, running over his hair, down over through his beard, and over his body. And here's what Scripture says, that the brothers dwelling together. How many are there? Psalms 133, verse 2. It is like the precious ointment upon the head. Back up to verse 1, if you would. But Bill, so that we understand. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for the brethren to dwell together in unity. Unity is the biggest thing that the enemy is attacking in the world today, in every sense of the word, from the home to the government, in every sense of the word. This is what he seeks to attack, to bring division, to separate, because where there is unity, there is great strength. Throughout Scripture, we see where God shows this example, the strength of unity. Jesus taught, if any two of you should agree concerning a matter. A number of years ago, when Jackie and I first moved to this area, we had a song in our heart, a skip in our step. For the first time, we spent years together on the mission field. We'd done things that the Lord had told us to do. I worked for years and years in the cattle business, but I was always involved in ministry. I knew that church life and being involved in ministry was vital to my family, to my children, and where they were going. And a lot of people say they put God first, but you can tell how first they put God by the way they treat dwelling together with the brethren. If it's just a once a week deal for you, and listen, don't receive this as condemnation, because we have people and situations and work arrangements and marriages that make some of these things complicated. So please don't take this away in the wrong attitude. But if you have the ability to be in church and to be in home groups and to be involved, and you're not, somewhere along the line, this affects us hugely, negatively. We are called to love one another and be involved in what God considers precious. And that is the people of God. I've heard it said many times, the reason for our existence is to reach one more. That is absolutely not true. That is an automatic outcropping of what being alive in Jesus is all about. If you're alive in Him, you're going to share the gospel. But the number one reason we're alive is to worship Him. And then in that worship, express love received as love given back to Him through love given to a local body. This is the model that God gives. We doing okay with that? Back to my story. Jackie and I, when we left where we were living before and moved here, the beautiful thing is that for the first time in my life, we'd done a lot of things, but for the first time in my life, there were two dynamics that were very different from any other move we'd ever made. Number one, we had absolutely no clue what God was calling us to or what we would do when we'd get here. Every other move, I had an idea. I had a concept. I knew what I'd be involved in or what I'd be starting or why I was going. In this case, I did not have that. Number two, for the first time in my life, I turned and opened up my heart and realized what had been going on for a number of years and realized that not only was God telling me to come, but He'd put a desire in me and I wanted to be here. That marriage, I don't know. Most people don't ever experience that. But to be where God calls you and to want to be there to your bones. How I love Arizona. How I love this area. How I love to be in a place called home and yet be where God wants you to be. What a beautiful thing. Now, we had that knowledge, but here's the deal. How many know there is an enemy and he will do everything? How many have sat in here and man, just revelation just began to just bring things home, and for the first few days after that Sunday, you're just rejoicing and Scripture's coming back to you and you're just, and then Wednesday, bam, it's like you got hit by a Mack truck. The enemy, not God. Get your doctrine straight. James chapter 1 says, let no man say when he is tempted or tested, that he is tempted or tested of God. God is not tempted with evil, neither will he tempt or test man with evil. Are you with me? Now, I'm not saying that there isn't a place where as God leads us and teaches us, in that setting of the Word of God, there aren't tests. But that's very different from temptation. From evil stuff that is sent our way, we need to understand the gospel. The gospel, Jesus announced it in this way in one place, John chapter 10, verse 10. The thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But I have come that you might have life. Everybody say life. And life in abundance. How many are glad today for abundant life in Jesus? And if you're not experiencing it, that's why we're talking about this. You can step into a richer, deeper, fuller knowledge of God that will change everything in your life. How He loves you. Praise the Lord. Okay, so we got here and everything that we'd planned, the house we thought we had rented, the job that we thought was a pretty sure deal, everything that we'd planned on fell apart. And we were staying now with David and Rachel Simmons, who helped us start this church. Their little house, the one that looked so perfect online and everything seemed wonderful. There was dirt in the water. There was a room that had so much cat urine in it, you couldn't even open the door. The whole thing was a lie. They were trying hard to get out of the contract. We had three horses in a side lot with broken down wires that we had to fix just to be there. Everything was upside down and a mess. We had all of our stuff loaded on a big moving truck. And the numbers were racking up. The day came when we were like, we're going to have to do something. This was during a time when the economy was shifting and you couldn't hardly find a house to rent. If something came to rent, people were lined up at 7 o'clock in the morning. You were dead in the water before you even got started. If you didn't know, so it was a tough time. And we weren't in a position at that time to buy. Well, I'll tell you what. Thank God for people that invested in our lives. Thank God for 2 years of Bible school where we met. The Word of God works. Can you turn to your neighbor, tap him on the shoulder and tell him, the Word of God will work. Here we were in an absolute mess. I remember all of us were feeling the weight of it. And yet inside, I'm just singing because I know that I know that I know that I know that I'm exactly where I'm thrilled to be here. But we got a problem. We're in a bit of a jam. Okay? And so I remember telling Jackie, we need to pull up. We need to give David and Rachel and their kids a break. We need to pull away. We went over and we rented a room over in Motel 8 in Prescott Valley. And we spent 2 days over there, got away, and just took the pressure off. Our kids swam in the swimming pool, and we watched some good old Westerns and just had a good old time, took the pressure off. All right, prayed together, said, Lord, we know that, we know you've got us here. We just need to get our head out of the bucket, see who you are, see how good you are. Nothing was answered. We just needed to shift it in neutral and catch our breath. So we went back. Jack and I got up, I think it was the following morning. We were up before everybody else, as we always were. And I don't remember what time it was, 5:30 in the morning. It was dark outside, and we'd tried to tiptoe around and make coffee. We're sitting there making coffee. And I remember looking at Jack, and I said, Jackie, we know better than this. What are we doing? What are we doing? We know better than this. Doesn't his word say, if any two of you should agree? I said, well, it's amazing how you can learn and learn and know and even have experienced these things. But it's funny how the enemy will just get things wound up and rolling, and you forget some of the basics. I remember saying, honey, we know better than this. We've got a promise. And I remember reaching, just as clear as now, reaching out across the table, I said, honey, let's agree together. In Jesus' name, you've got the right house. You've got the right job. You're the one that called us here. There's a joy and a singing on the inside of me. I don't know what you've got in store in this place, but I'm thrilled to be here. I don't care what it looks like. And we sat there and held hands, and we said, in Jesus' name, this is how this works, if you want to know how it works. In Jesus' name, some of you young couples, if you can't do this, if there's so much conflict in your marriage, let the love of God cause that to evaporate. Submit to Him as you submit to one another in love. And let the love of God allow you to come back into agreement. As we sat there and prayed together over our coffee and agreed together, I'm not trying to sound hypey. I promise you, I'm not trying to be sensational at all. This is exactly factually, with plenty of witnesses, exactly what happened. That day, 2 hours later, I walked out by faith, opened up the door on my Dodge pickup truck, sat down inside with no clue, Bob Weir, where I was going. Turned the key on, turned the heater on, and sat there saying, okay, God, you are going to provide a way. As I'm sitting there in this motion, having no clue where I'm going to go, the Lord, just like that, brought to my remembrance a conversation that I'd had with a man over 4 months earlier from the state of Oklahoma. I'd called this guy because I'd noticed that there was a tile contracting opportunity, which I had done, and I had called the man and asked him about the job, and basically the bottom line, without any exaggeration, is all, once he found out I was in Oklahoma, that I was 4 months from moving, he basically told me to get off his phone and stop wasting his time. And he wasn't nice about it at all. And I remember it was a real bummer. There were aspects of this that seemed impossible. There were a host of other calls. But on this day, sitting with my little Dodge pickup in idle, sitting in our driveway, I remembered. And I thumbed through a little notebook and came upon a place where I'd written down Jim Dressler, value tile, and the number. Before I even thought about what I was doing, first number, sitting there with the engine idling, called the number and somebody picks up. I said, I don't know if you remember me, but I'm calling, I'm here. The man interrupted me. He said, are you the guy from Oklahoma? I said, yes, I am. He said, my wife and I were just here talking about you, wishing we had talked to you more. I said, well, is there a job available? He said, I just lost a guy. When can you start? That job for me over the next 4 to 5 years, I made more money, ran 2 crews, made more money than I'd ever made in my life. We believed God together with her job at the school. This was before and during the time that this came about. But I made more money at that job. We were able to get completely out of debt and are still there yet. Thank God. Boy, it makes life easier. Trust God. Get out of debt. You can do it in Jesus' name. He is the supplier of your needs. We got out of debt. And during that time with that job, now here's the thing. I sat there stunned. I hadn't even put the truck in gear and already I had a job. Do you understand what I'm saying? Sitting there, totally amazed. I don't have to go anywhere. I didn't even leave the driveway. I said, out of my heart, out of deep inside here, I heard myself say, God, if you can provide, I've got the story backwards, actually. I got a part of this backwards, and this will bless you. Do you mind if I just tell you a story? I think it brings these things home. Takes it from just being a scripture. I'm going to tell you another story. Okay, before this happened, so the day we agreed, I forgot about that. The day that we agreed, the reason we agreed, the pressure that was there and me waking up and realizing what we're doing is because that day was our last day that we could have our stuff in the big Penske moving truck. That day, we had to go take money we didn't have, rent a storage unit, and take our truck to Phoenix with still no place to live. So we went down, rented a storage unit. David and Rachel helped us. We unloaded all of our stuff, some of their stuff, and a couple of storage units. And we headed to Phoenix. David and I headed to Phoenix. We dropped off the truck, came back in our vehicle, and when we were coming back into Chino, I said, David, make a left right here at Outer Loop Road. He said, why? This is our relationship. Dave and I always argued and we love each other to this day, closer than flesh and blood brothers. He says, why? He says, you're going way out of your way. I said, David, it's just turn left. But you're going the long way around. Our house is right down here off of, that takes you where he'd already explored. He knew it was where. I said, David, would you just take a left here? Why? I said, I don't know. Just take a left. I didn't know. I just knew take a left. We took a left, came out around to what was Reed Road. At that time, I didn't know what Reed Road was. I got on Reed Road, and we started down that road. This was the day, the morning, that we agreed together. So now I got my timing back, and I knew there was something that I was telling ahead. So we're heading down the road, and when we get to would have been Road 2 South, go through the stop sign. We're going down just a little ways, and I noticed a trailer house that was off to the back of the property that I hadn't noticed before. It looked like it was abandoned. And, you know, we were so desperate. I thought, man, I'm willing to bug anybody, do anything, whatever we got to do. And it had a little place for horses. We thought we were going to put our horses up for board or get rid of them. And that's a whole other story I'll tell you about another time. So I'm looking, and I thought, what is the deal? There was a man, the next house had stuff all over the yard and this big half-finished house. There was an older gentleman, looked like being in his late 60s, early 70s, and he had a little girl standing there with him. And I pulled over and I said, sir, do you know anything about this property here? I know there's not a for rent sign or for sale, but do you know any? It appears to be abandoned. He said, sir, we get that all the time. He said, that's my daughter's house. She's been through a divorce and raising little kids, and we helped her get into this house. And he said, she hasn't quite totally got moved in and different things. He said, but it's funny that you stopped and asked. I invest in houses. I own 4 right now. And he said, I just went down to sign on one at the bank. He said, and on my way back just now, I'm just getting back. He said, there is a house that has a horse property that somebody, they've got a huge triple axle horse trailer out front, another one off to the side, with all their stuff piled on it. He said, I've been seeing activity there. He said, it's not a way that I normally go. But when I came back today, there was a sign pounded in to the front yard, handwritten, that said, for rent. I said, really? He said, yeah. He said, you might want to go down there and check that out pretty quick. I said, oh, don't worry. As I went into that neighborhood, at that time, the cheapest rent you could find on that block, Butterfield Road, where Casa Grande's at, was $1,200 and whatever it was, dollars a month. And when I realized where we were at, I thought, you know, my head started going, you're nuts. There's no sense even going down there. But we went ahead and went on down, saw where the sign was at, pulled in the driveway, knocked on the door. They were cleaning the rugs and tidying things up. And man, the place was like, wow, everything we needed. So I knocked on the door. There was an older couple that was in there cleaning. They said, our daughter's gone right now. She's the one that had this house and put it up for rent. There's a long story, but they're needing to get out of here. They're moving to Missouri, etc. And I said, okay. So I visited them a little bit. After a while, she came back. The minute she came in the door, I felt like something weird was going on, and I almost wanted to leave because she was not acting right. In a little while, and I'll skip a lot of the story, we're standing there and just starting to talk to her, and she starts crying, and she says, you're going to think I'm crazy. And I was like, too late. I was trying to figure out a way to backpedal out of this. I didn't know what was going on. She said, you're going to think I'm crazy. She starts crying. She said, but I saw you two in a dream last night, and I've been waiting for you all day. This house belongs to you. The owner is a Christian. She'd found out in our conversation we were believers. And then she said to me, are you here to start a church? I said, oh, no. Already been there? Uh-oh, that's not what we're here to do. She said, let me call the owner. Called the owner. She told the situation. That guy let us have that place for rent that at that time was 5 years old. Under, what was it, nine something? 900 a month. Complete with a hay barn, horse corrals, the whole deal, everything, big old wood stove in the front room. It was our place, and let us have that rent and never raise the rent on us a single time the entire time we were there. Got to pray with that man, came down with cancer. God did a work in his life. He lived over in California. The whole thing was God ordained. So he said, the house is yours. And I thought, well, I got one problem. How are we going to pay for it? So it was the next morning that I walked out by faith, sat down in my pickup and said, Lord, if you provided the house, you've already got how to take care of that in hand. What do I do? I'm sitting there with the truck idling, just going to head out and believe God. I'd had years and years and years of experience punching cows. And yet at that time, I didn't want to take my wife once again in the middle of nowhere, living in a beat-up old trailer on a ranch somewhere, miles and miles away from town. I feel like there was a shift in our life. I've punched cows here for years, but I thank God I never had to live in a trailer house or in a bunkhouse. Was able to drive to it, enjoy that, and let that be a part of our life, but not our livelihood, you know, until things got rolling. The power of agreement will affect your everyday life as you move forward and trust and believe God. That's why the devil works overtime to divide people, to divide couples. Right now, in Jesus' name, listen, in Jesus' name, agree with me. I bind the spirit of division in marriages right now. Somebody in here could be contemplating a separation and their spouse not even know. In Jesus' name, I arrest that thing by the love of God in that faith. And in Jesus' name, I speak healing. I thank you that right now, because this is being addressed, a voice of hope is entering in. And that which Satan determined for destruction is being called to naught. And God's doing a miracle in your relationship. Please don't answer out loud, because I would never want to expose you. But if that applies to you, grip your wife or husband's hand and say, I receive that. And let God be God in your marriage. Praise the Lord. He's looking to divide churches, homes, parents from children. He'll use everything he can to divide. Because he knows that the power of agreement Faith works by love. Isn't that beautiful? Now here we have a picture. Let's kick that scripture one more time, Bill. Did you enjoy that story?
Yes.
That's not just a story. That's an account that happened in our life. The Word of God will work for you. But it's not going to work like that if you have a casual interest. You have your career, you have your marriage, you have your hobbies, you have your job, and oh yeah, to be a whole American, to live the American dream, we need a little bit of church too. That won't get you anywhere. Let Him be the center of your life. And watch as He can put you in places that you never dreamed. It is very rare the job that I've stayed at for any time at all, that I was not in due time offered or elevated over the top of people with college degrees as God honored faithfulness and trusting His word when they said it was impossible. Trust God. He's got a plan. I love that song we did this morning. How He loves us. Come on, would you just raise your hands like this? Thank you, Lord, for your love. Wow. Okay, look at this. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Everybody say unity.
Unity.
Say it out loud three times. Unity.
Unity.
All right, now next verse. It is like, here's what this unity is like. It is like the precious ointment upon the head. It ran down the beard, even Aaron's beard, and went down to the skirts of his garments. We see this priestly figure with the holy anointing oil flowing, the kiss and stamp of the love and the power of God flowing from head to toe. This is a picture not just of Jesus to come, but more importantly for you and I, God's great joy to reveal. This is a picture of Jesus in you and I to come. Isn't that awesome? A picture of Jesus. Look with me at Luke chapter 4. Verse 18, Jesus' ministry, He opens it up this way. He dares to say, I am the fulfillment of God manifest in the flesh. It offended them. They stared at Him. The beginning of great love for the Messiah and greater hate in that context started that day. For in Luke 4:18, He makes a declaration. He says what the psalmist beautifully and prophetically penned as he sung about Aaron. I am the fulfillment of that. Luke 4:18, Jesus stands and He opens a scroll and He says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance. Do you hear this, people, this morning? Do you hear what He is announcing to the world for eternity? Here's why I'm here. Most of the church nowadays, the reason we're there and the reason we're taught that God is there is to point out our failure and to point out our sin and to point out our shortcoming and to cry out for mercy and revival. If we get our life right and if we get this and we hold our tongue right and hold our finger right, somehow, some way, God will do some things. That's nonsense. Greater is He already that is in you than He that is in the world. We just got to go back and believe what's happened already. And if that hadn't happened already, you're in the right place. I'd love to lead you to Jesus at the end of the service. Piece of cake. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. Everybody say with me, anointing.
Anointing.
That anointing, what does it do? It preaches good news. Go back to the former verse, if you would, Bill. There's the end of it. To preach the acceptable year of our Lord. Look at what he says. It heals. You got a broken heart in here this morning? Man, I hope you found a church home. Let the love of God and the anointing that is on his word just roll over and bathe you and cleanse you week after week. Take hope. I am stinking not, forgive my French, but I'm stinking not interested in building a great ministry and promoting my name. You will never see LeeShaw.tv. You'll never see any of that nonsense. What my desire is that Jesus be revealed in this place and let the rest go where it may as we together as a body exalt him who does all things well. If that translates into a several hundred member or more church in Chino, so be it. But I'll tell you what, I've already been around this enough. I'm very unimpressed with me, and I'm very unimpressed with modern religion. But I am more impressed than ever with greater is he who is in me. I invite you, man, let the word of God cleanse and heal broken hearts. Deliverance. Are you bound? Do you love Jesus with all of your heart? But you hide something that always keeps you fettered and bound? The answer to that is not for you to try harder than ever to make a renewed resolution every other week or month or at the beginning of the year coming up in a couple of months. A revelation of Jesus will cause that yoke of bondage to melt away. The love of God. And recovering of sight to the blind. These things are literal and they are spiritual. They're literal and spiritual. What Jesus did in his ministry, it plainly says that all that he did in healing the sick was the fulfillment of prophecy. He literally heals broken bodies. He still literally opens eyes. I've seen it under my own hands. Ironically, when I least expected it. Do you realize that as we come together and we begin to believe God and we submit to this thing? Do you know one of the biggest enemies in the body? Listen, I need you to hear this. Don't go to sleep on me. One of the biggest enemies to a believer and to the body of Christ today in this year 2017, and in America, it's a real problem, is an independent spirit. I can do this on my own, and I don't need anybody else. We may say we don't think that way, but you watch as people bounce from church to church, place to place, marriage to marriage, on and on and on, and they give their mounting excuses for why there is no place quite good enough for them. Now listen, I'm not saying that God won't lead you from one place to another, but there's a right way to do that. I'm not saying that there aren't some broken disasters that it's good for you to get the heck out of Dodge and get to a place of healing and get away from where you're being abused, just like you would in a marriage. That's kind of what a church is. You're being abused, you need to get out. But we use a lot of things like this as an excuse for an independent spirit. I'm thankful today that God can help us by the Spirit of God say, you first, me last. I know this is not shouting hallelujah, swinging from the chandeliers preaching, but let me tell you something. It's in the Word of God, and it's what the apostles were most concerned with. Can you give me a few more minutes? That anointing. The anointing that flowed over Aaron, a picture of our Jesus, a picture of you and I in him, and he in us. The anointing. This is what John is referencing in 1 John 2. Verse 20, and 1 John 2, verse 27, that says, now, because of our faith in him, we have an anointing. Come on, tap your neighbor on the shoulder and say, you got an anointing. Come on, say it like you mean. You got an anointing from the Holy One. Time we realize that, all right? Jesus here is saying, here's what this anointing does. Scripture says this anointing flows and is a picture of unity. Pretty awesome. Isn't that beautiful? Now here's something interesting, and we reference this. I want to take you back to it. We reference this sometime back. Genesis chapter 11 says that there was a people in the earth. They were of the same language and of the same mind. And God, this is found in Genesis chapter 11. You remember the Tower of Babel? God said, this people have thought and sought to build a tower unto heaven. And God's own words about them was, because they're in unity and the same mind and the same language, nothing, if I don't stop it, nothing will be impossible to these people. This is a group of people that are under the curse, in the bondage of sin, but because they came together, God himself, his attention was arrested, and he had to say, uh-uh, not yet, not this way. Boom. Do you realize the power of unity? Let the word of God speak to your heart. In there, somewhere in you, if you've been born again, is a desire to make a difference in somebody else's life. There's an anointing in you. Now, I understand that when we talk about love, I want you to turn in your Bibles, if you would, to 1 Corinthians. And I've been wanting to do this for over a month. So we'll just touch on it, and then we'll finish up some of this next week. You guys getting anything out of this? Isn't this rich? The love of God that changes lives. Now listen, the thought came to me right now, and I need to arrest it. Help you. Do not let this conversation be sabotaged by your past failures. What has happened is over. Do not let the devil take you back. And I said it last week, I'm going to say it again. And say, man, if I would have, that's called regret. That isn't in the plan of God. That is done and over, as I said last week, and I'm going to announce it again. We're going to arrest condemnation that does not belong to the believer by saying what Paul said. I forget, come on, would you announce this with me? Everybody in the congregation, make this declaration together. I forget, come on, Herb Real, I forget those things which are behind. Amen. Supernaturally, by faith, because of his great love for me. One more time, shout it out. I forget those things which are behind. And I press on forward towards the mark of my high calling in Christ Jesus. Do you feel your spirit, man, just jumping right now? You've been told all your life you're disqualified. And you've told yourself, maybe longer than that, I'm disqualified. But Colossians chapter 1 verse 12 says, you were qualified by your faith in the blood. Ha! Whoo, that's good news. We doing all right? Come on, we doing all right? The love of God, I love it. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I'm going to warn you right up front. Man, I have been beat over the head with 1 Corinthians 13. If you really love God, you'd act like this. And I'd try so hard and fail. And the more I tried, the more I failed. I'd get most of it and then I'd fail. Until I realized that this is a supernatural description of the way God loves me. And if I will receive that love for me, I will walk in a greater love for others. I'll never be perfect, for my dependency, as Paul said, is on him. But I'll climb higher and with greater understanding of love. Guess what else kicks in gear? Trust. Another word for trust is faith. I know he can do this. For I've had a revelation. This is what John says in 1 John 4. He said, here's why I'm confident about this love thing. Here's why I don't walk in fear. Here's why I could stand at the foot of the cross when all the apostles had ran in fear. And one of them cursing as he swore his denial that he even knew Jesus. Here's why I could stand at the foot of the cross and be the one that Jesus from the cross says, take care of mother. Here's why they couldn't kill me. They tried to boil me alive in oil and ended up frustrated and just sent me to the Isle of Patmos, where Jesus talked to me about future events for the Jewish nation. Here's why. I have known, and the next one is the most important, and received. Many know in here this morning, but I believe by the Spirit of God, weekly as we come in here, there'll be an opening and a believing and a receiving of the love of God that will begin to transform what you thought was faith. How many are glad for Jesus today? Three of you. How many are glad for Jesus today? Praise the Lord. 1 Corinthians 13. Darling, will you help me find 1 Corinthians 13? Look at the end of chapter 12. The end of chapter 12, because it introduces, understand this, these passages are not written with numbers and chapters. That was broken down for us to be able to reference as we study. This is a flowing letter. And here's what it says. Are all apostles, are all prophets, verse 29, chapter 12. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers? Do all have the power of performing miracles? Do all possess extraordinary powers of healing? Do all speak with tongues? And that is a reference to the gift of tongues, not the personal private prayer language of anybody who's baptized in the Holy Ghost. I can prove that in Scripture. But he's talking about the gift of tongues and interpretations thereof listed in the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. All right. He says, 31, but earnestly desire and zeal. Now I'm reading out of the Amplified Bible. Earnestly desire and zealously cultivate the greatest and the best gifts and graces. So it's okay for you to covet the best gifts and pursue the greatest for you in Jesus. Go for it. I turn you loose. Go for the best and the greatest and let him lead you. Here it is. I say, I turn you loose. That almost sounds arrogant. The Word of God in my mouth. Are you with me? The Word of God, period. Let's just back it up a little more. The Word of God, period, if you'll receive it, sets you free. All right? And yet, I will show you still a more excellent way that is better by far and the highest of all of these. Love. And you turn to your neighbor and say, love. Do you hear what he said? Love. Okay, now, here's where he starts. And I'm going to read out of the Amplified Bible. If you don't have an Amplified Bible, I encourage you to get one. It's not perfect. No translation is perfect. Paraphrases, there's different things. That's why I keep study. I keep concordances and I keep a number of different translations. I hug pretty centrally to my old good old King James. And there, you know, I mean, we got people translating from here and translating. But the Word, don't let anybody deceive you. There's no problem with the Word of God. And all this nonsense right now that's so popular on TV about original documents. We don't have any original documents. We have copies. And Jesus himself performed miracles as he quoted a copy called the Septuagint. The Word of God, beautiful and pure in its theme, supernatural in every element. He is the Word of God. Are you with me? Most everything we have is copies. Okay? But there's no other Bible, there's no other literature even remotely close to it. For those of you that don't know, secular studies have shown it is at least 10, others say 12 times more reliable than any other known copy of any kind. Beautifully, wonderfully, and supernaturally preserved. The Word of God. Jackie and I reached across the table and say, honey, we know better than this. Jesus said, therefore we believe and we receive. And we watched in 2 days, everything swap ends. A 180. It doesn't happen that way every time. Sometimes the wheelhouse moves a little slower. But he is faithful every time if you'll dare to trust him. Don't shout me down because I'm preaching good. Okay, he says here in 1 Corinthians, he says here in 1 Corinthians 13, Amplified Bible. If I can speak in the tongues of men and even of angels, but have not love, that reasoning. And I want you to look at something. If you have the Amplified Bible, Bill, bless your heart. He's got it for us. That reasoning, intentional. I want everybody to notice the word intentional. I love it. Intentional. Spiritual devotion, such as is inspired by God's love. I love the way the Amplified puts this. It preaches it for me. It says, by God's love for and in us. We've been shouting that, huh, for 2 months? For and in us. I'm very glad for that love. Romans 5:5. Shed abroad in our hearts. He says, if I don't have that, I'm only a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. All right, Michael. Get up there and grab a drumstick. How many enjoyed the beautiful drums blending with music? Okay, decently and in order and flowing by a pro. But how many will enjoy this? Grab your drumstick and just start wailing on that cymbal. No. Even that, out of time, it's still perfect. I mean, hit that joker out of time and let it go. How many are going to just enjoy this? Hit something else clangy. Hit something else clangy. Anything, the hi-hat. That's a wreck. Now, play something beautiful for us. Just something you love to do. Okay, just to show you that he can do more than clang. Thank you, brother. Right on. Now, here's it. The Bible says you can have all this stuff, and if you don't have love, you sound like the first one. You've been around some people that could talk in tongues and were wild-eyed, swing from chandeliers. They were so heavenly minded, there were no earthly good floating around in the air, and it drove you nuts to be around them. It was embarrassing. Trust me, I don't believe this way in the cow pen. I don't behave this way in a set of cow pens where I'm trying to lead some guys to the Lord. Use wisdom. I don't hide it either. But I'm not a fool. You with me? Love. I'm going to find somewhere commonality and develop a relationship. For life truly is, in Jesus, about others. And if I have the prophetic, verse 2, have the prophetic powers and the gift of interpreting the divine will and prayer, that's pretty lofty. And understand all the secret truths and mysteries and possess all knowledge. You ever met anybody like that? And if I have sufficient faith so that I can remove mountains, we've been talking about mountain moving faith. But have not love, God's love in me, I am nothing. That's pretty heavy. Even if I dole out all that I have to the poor in providing food, and if I surrender my body to be burned in order that I may glory, but have not love, God's love in me, I gain nothing. And then he begins to describe God's love, and I want you to hear this. Hear this by the Spirit of God. This is his love for you. Not only that, the Word of God says whether you realize it or are walking in it by faith, maybe you've reasoned it away in your practical everyday life, but the Word of God says if you receive Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, this kind of love already dwells in you. And it is a love that conquers all. We doing okay? powerful. It says, love endures long and is patient and kind. Can everybody join me in saying, whoo, help me, Lord. But with me, he is. See, all my life I heard this. I was beat over the head with this. Uh-uh. Let him minister to your heart. This is his great love for you. And the beauty is, as we allow the love of God, as we receive it, it does something on the inside of us, and that love that is in us begins to be expressed in a greater way. And all of a sudden, stuff that you've been fighting for and believing God and confessing and calling the prayer chain and nothing's busting loose, it just starts to click in gear. How many ever been to a chiropractor? There's the guy that he's going to ring you in half to get that. And then there's that other guy that just knows what he's doing. And before you even know what happened, crap. And you're like, whoo. How many know what I'm talking about? How many are about ready to go to sleep? You're so relaxed, you just, man. Love endures long and is impatient and kind. Love is never envious nor boils over with jealousy. Is not boastful or vainglorious. Does not display itself haughtily. It is not conceited, arrogant, and inflated with pride. It is not rude, unmannerly. It does not act unbecomingly. Love, God's love in us. I love the Amplified. Does not insist on its own way. For it is not self-seeking. It is not touchy or fretful. Or resentful. We're going to come back to some of these because I'd like to move through these together and begin to identify. Now, because of grace, I have no shame or fear before God. I know that He loves me. So now I can lay this down as a temple and say, Lord, that right there, that's in me, but I'm not walking in it. And I'm in some conflict. Help me by your grace and by your Holy Spirit to let this begin to flow. And watch as when you don't even know what's going on. Do you know I shared this on Wednesday night in our Christian philosophy thing. We're having a great time there. If you don't have anywhere to be on Wednesday nights at 6:30, we invite you to come out. We're having a great time in the Word of God discussing Christian philosophy, and I can explain that to you when you show up. But here's the deal. I gave a number of points of how God speaks to us, how to follow God. And in that whole setting, now I forgot where I was going to go with that. That's what happens when I leave my notes. What was the last thing that I was talking about? This keeps me humble. You pray for me. Yes. Just lost it. Yeah, I remember that, but there was a particular point in that. Boy, this will be great on the audio, won't it? To those of you that are listening on audio in a future event, nanner, nanner, boo, boo, we're going to move on to the next point. Maybe it'll come back to me. Or if you think of it, interrupt me. I give you permission and we'll go back there. I want to finish with this because I've run longer already than I wanted to. Love. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 says it is an intentional love. In other words, this doesn't come naturally. This is something that we step in and walk in by faith. This is when you want to claim your rights. You want to scream at your wife that she hurt you and she's wrong. And agape love of God says, that's going to get you nowhere. Even though you felt you were wrong, you asked forgiveness. You go the extra mile, you buy the flowers, you walk in something that right now you are absolutely not feeling, but trust God and walk in agape love by faith. Watch what God will do to your marriage. Now, I keep going back to marriage because this is a picture of the church. Broaden that to the church. How many people, because of an independent spirit, bounce around, always got a problem with somebody everywhere they go? Doesn't matter what preacher they sit under, they're going to pick him apart. Because sooner or later, I don't want you messing or meddling with what's going on in me. I'm not. If you've been around here, you know, man, I preach the love of God incessantly. Chad Nanke, who's over in kids ministry today, he was worth 2 or 3 packs of cigarettes every day in the evening. And if you smoke, no condemnation here. He loves you. He'll use you. You can pray for other people. I didn't say smoking condemns you and makes you less. But I'll tell you what, it'll shorten your life. And if you trust the love of God, he'll help you get rid of it. Okay? So no condemnation. If I walk up to you and I'm needing somebody to agree prayer and you're back here smoking, I'm going to say, hey, come on, brother, agree with me in prayer. It absolutely has no registering at all, any more than anybody else who's addicted to Coke. Coca-Cola. Woo! Now you're awake. Now I want to talk to hearts before we go. As God begins to create in us a culture of faith and love, and we begin to allow God to open up our eyes to those that are around us and dare to share with those who are in the world, they need a place of healing. I want this church to be a place of healing. For the anointing binds up the brokenhearted. It sets at liberty those. We're not here to make a show. We're here to let the Word of God bring liberty into your life as Jesus is revealed. But here's the problem, that whole independent thing. These words just started flowing out of me this morning, and I want you to listen, because here is the challenge to any leader, pastor, challenge to us individually. All of us come from different backgrounds, different levels of growth, different understandings, different upbringings. I'm going to give you two opposites, and then all of us fall in there in the middle somewhere on some level. We all tend to perceive what we see around us and what we experience in our lives, everyday lives, through the lens, listen close, of our current understanding that is based on what we have seen and what we have experienced. That's a cycle. That's circular. In other words, the lens that I look through, in large part, the way I perceive and look at life. Here's where it gets tricky, because this is a potential vicious cycle. I have a particular family in my mind right now, very, very close to me, none of anybody's business, not here in Arizona, so relax. People that I love and that love me, but they are super disciplinarian. Their kids lived out the brunt of legalism and an ultra super disciplinarian mindset. If we're disciplinarian in our thinking because of how we were raised, or as a result of a correction or an overcorrection that we made in our lives to avoid pain or discomfort. I know this is waxing a little psychological and philosophical, but hold with me, because it'll identify many of us in some level. We tend to see ourselves and others through that lens. And we don't even realize it, but it's a trick, because it becomes a form of self-righteousness. If everybody could see things like I do, they wouldn't be in such a mess. Red flag. Trouble. If they would raise kids like I do, eat like I do, commit like I do to church, do like, be careful. Be really careful. I have a military granddad who's now since gone on to be the Lord. And his disciplinarian, militaristic mindset was costly. And in heaven, he would tell you that. And it's funny how it swung, the pendulum swung wide in later years with the younger ones. What a wreck continues to this day. The youngest of seven, my mother Wanda, who you knew, many of you, and the next one in line. Would you join me and say, the curse stops with me? Come on, the curse stops with me. You think that your self-discipline is what got you? You're going to be in trouble. It's a self-righteous attitude that comes from a perception that God is disciplinarian. See, many times the way we are responding to others and what we have is because we have a perception that he's this way. Here's the other end of this spectrum. I love the message of grace, how it has transformed my life. No hitch, no doubt, ever. I don't care whether I'm on top or in failure. I know the love of God for me never changes. As a result of that love, my failures are less and less. And my ability to trust him and walk in victory is greater and greater. Have you ever heard, though, the accusation of sloppy agape? Lazy grace. On and on and on. The other end of that spectrum is those who are very, very liberal in their thinking. It's the result of a correction or an overcorrection in their lives to avoid pain. Is that familiar? To avoid pain or discomfort. We tend to see ourselves and others through the lens of this worldly permissiveness that allows everything, and everything's okay, and don't judge me, and everything's cool. When in reality, the Word of God states very clearly that either one of those extremes will get you in trouble. There's only one thing that will pull. Listen, we've got varying stages of that. And there are people that leave a place where the Word of God is being preached, not infallible, through a man, through others in that congregation, but there is restoration happening in their lives, and the enemy will dupe people into, they hear one thing and they say, wait a minute. Begin to back off, and one of these two things begins to take over. There's one thing that pulls us from varying backgrounds. How many know Jesus died for all? He loves all. He loves you right where you're at. There's one thing that pulls all of us together on either extreme or in varying degrees of those understanding, and that is when we come together and submit to the love of God and absolutely trust and pray and believe the best. We didn't read the rest of it. I'm out of time. I don't want to push your time anymore. But how many are getting something out of this? In there somewhere in the middle, some of you need to relax and cut yourself and some others some slack. God did for you. And a piece of cheesecake is not going to destroy your life. Hold on. Hold on. Now, whoa, 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 wait a minute. And on the other end of the spectrum, on the other end of the spectrum, we got spirit-filled, supposed Holy Ghost spirit-filled people that love God, and yet their eyes and ears have a regular appetite of entertainment that is destructive and bombarding in the name of freedom. Paul says, let not your freedom be a cloak, Galatians, of maliciousness. We find the center of these things when we receive, we believe, and receive the love of God, which casts out all fear, removes all comparisons. And we begin to look at what the epistles say of how this functions. And that's what I started to say a little while ago about Wednesday night teaching. I was talking about how to follow God. It just hit me, and this is so good. As you submit to the love of God and you're in His Word, I've been in places where I was at a crossroad in my life. You guys that were here on Wednesday, you remember this. And I'm trying to say, God, which way do I go? Which way do I go? Which way do I go? I'm driving myself crazy. I'm driving my wife crazy. I'm driving others crazy. I'm probably driving God crazy. That's a joke. He's like, dude, okay, so you're over here and you're doing this. And I just had to relax. Get over here and get into the Word of God and just start loving Him and rejoicing in Him and receiving His love and meditating on it. And as I was over here in the Word that had nothing to do with my issue, while I'm here bathing and just honoring His Word, and this Word that I'm reading has zero to do in context with what's going on over here, as a result of this right here flow, all of a sudden, bink, I know exactly where I'm supposed to go. I don't know how that had anything to do with this, but while I was doing that, this just unlocked, stepped into it, and the blessing of God began to flow. Amen. Would you say with me today, the Word of God works. The devil's design is to get you isolated from others, developing an independent spirit, number one. Are you here today? He wants to get your head so far in the feed bucket that you can't see the world around you. Come on. You know how you can back a pig anywhere you want it to go? Put a bucket over their head and run them backwards. And that's what the devil does with a lot of... You didn't know. Somebody's going, what? Yeah, it's true. It's true. Get your head out of the bucket. Get free. Let the love of God transform you. And I got to dismiss because I could go for another hour. Stand to your feet. Worship leaders, come this way. Man, I'm so full of this theme. And know what it does. How many received something this morning? Kick your hands up in the air today. Say, Father, I thank You that this becomes a reality in my practical everyday life. The love of God that transforms. Come on, all over the room. Come on, would you just with liberty? Come on. Some of you need to, you've never lifted your hands because somebody told you that's what crazy Pentecostals do. Let me tell you what the Bible says. The Bible says, lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. That's your Bible. Yeah.